Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler, and joining me today, a fellow ginger.
Yes, that is true, from top to bottom.
Gingers unite. Excellent. Jeff Berthoff.
Yes, I'm glad to be here,
Corey. You are an HTML5 evangelist here at Microsoft.
I am. I'm one of the lucky people who get to spend their entire day working with web technologies, Internet Explorer, Windows 8 apps, any place that we use HTML5, which is a lot, I get to work with and work with developers in the field on.
And it's like full web stack, too.
Full
it's
web
like
stack.
JavaScript and all that goodness.
That's right. Yep.
Excellent.
I love every programming language as long as it's JavaScript.
So you like two. No, I'm kidding.
Right. Something like that.
Awesome. And today you're going to show off something that's really interesting for the web developer.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, we had a show on Apache Cordova.
Mm-hmm.
Olivier Bloch from MS OpenTech was just kind of showing us that. You've made something very similar, and it is called the Web App Template.
The Web App Template, yes.
Excellent. And the Web App Template, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, is for developers out there who are very web-friendly, but would like to bring that experience to a Windows 8 device.
That's right. So one of the key differences between Cordova and what we're doing, especially on Windows 8, Cordova works with a little bit of a different structure than what you have on other platforms. It doesn't use a web view. Mm-hmm. It's actually an additional JavaScript file that you add into our Windows web app environment, so inside of a HTML5 app, that then gives you the mappings from your Cordova APIs to the Windows APIs. It's actually very smooth, very performant, works really well. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't provide you a web view to let you point to a hosted web app. So like your website, something that you run on your own web server.
Mm.
So one of the things that we learned over the last couple years working with companies who have web first type of perspectives and have really great web apps is that there are some apps out there that are amazing. Web apps that I would say in some cases rival the quality of native apps, and in some cases surpass the quality of what we have in native apps. They're just fantastic. So one of my missions was kind of to find out a way where we can easily get those fantastic web apps onto the Windows platform. And that's where the Web App Template came from. It's a tool that helps web developers move their web app to Windows.
Cool.
And we also have a Windows Phone version. We're going to be looking at the Windows version today, but it helps you get your web app into the Windows Store or the Windows Phone.
Excellent. And we'll have links off to where you can get those web app templates
right.
At the bottom of the show page. And
like right here.
You can go off, yeah, right there. We do that very often on the
okay.
show. It's like just down here. Excellent. So how would one get started with the web app template?
Okay. So what I want to do is I'm actually going to take a step back.
Like it?
And we're going to build live a web app into a Windows app.
Cool.
So I'm going to take a very popular web app. You may have heard of it. It's called Bing. Any recollection?
Oh, yeah. I totally use Bing all the time. It's actually the homepage on the majority of my machines.
So just dismiss that right now. So we're going to start with Bing. And we're going to say, okay, if I was going to move Bing onto the Windows platform to be a app, what would it take? So first of all, we're going to be working with Windows 8.1 today,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of an important
distinction,
thank you, because we're going to be using a new element in Windows 8.1 called the WebView. Now you say, well, WebViews aren't new, and that's true. We've had WebViews on mobile platforms forever, but one of the distinctions here is that we're going to be writing our app in HTML5. So this will be a HTML5 app that has a new element in it called the WebView. And just like we have a WebView in C#, we have our WebViews on other platforms as well, on Windows Phone, you know, Android, iOS. The same type of element is now an HTML5 element. What this allows me to do is write an app in web technologies from top to bottom.
So under the covers, this web view, is it taking advantage of IE11 in 8.1?
That's right.
Okay.
So whenever we think about a web or an HTML5 app in Windows, In essence, it's an instance of IE11. It uses the same rendering engine. It uses the same JavaScript engine as IE. Mm-hmm. Just think of it as basically like a browser window with no plugins.
Yeah.
Okay? And also access to the Windows object. So all of the Windows APIs you can access when you're inside of this local context, and you have kind of like privileged code to work with.
So you can go to storage or...
Exactly. Storage, accessing the hardware, USB, contracts with charms and stuff like that are all accessible.
Cool.
So it is, the environment itself is IE11. The web view is like a window inside of a window. So we think about an iframe, and we think about how we can have a page inside of a page. A web view is a full window object. So it has its own high-level window object. It has its own navigation stack. It fires off events and all of the things that you would need to know exactly what's going on in that web view. So that's what we're going to be using today. We're going to put one of those web views inside of an app.
Cool.
So let's get started. I'm going to start out, and we're going to start out with a new project, and I'll do a blank project. Now, if I'm going to do this myself, just going to be a very simple approach. I'm going to take out my content line goes here. And for those of you who might not be familiar with Windows development, I'm using Visual Studio Express for Windows 8. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's 2013. It's a free product for writing apps for Windows 8.1. When you see this environment, it's going to look just like you're used to when you're writing for your browser. It's going to have HTML files, JavaScript files, CSS files. They all work together. You're going to see a few additional files, like this package manifest, where you're going to describe kind of the app-like features, like your icons and things like that in there. So I'm going to go into my HTML page here, and I'm going to delete my content, and then I'm going to add a web view. So the value is called x-ms-webview. Now, the reason why we started with an x-ms, when we have an element that is non-standard, is not intended to be a cross-platform or an interoperable solution, mm-hmm. we start with an x so that it's really clear to the user, you know, this is a platform-specific thing. Yep. And this is something that we use inside of the app. It's not something that is part of Internet Explorer. It really has its place in the app environment, not really in the web.
And to pull it out a little bit further, this kind of convention is across a lot of things. So like MIME types, if you're doing programming on like Excel files or things like that, and if you're familiar with Windows Azure, some of the SDKs use x-ms for the headers that they pass
That's
along
right. That's right.
as part of that. So.
And it's a convention that we've been using for a while and will continue to use to qualify that. Okay, so I have my web view, and I'm going to give it a source. And that will be Bing's website. Okay, so now I have my web view. I'm just going to shorthand here a little bit and say, put a style there, make the width 100%, height will be 100%, just so it fills the screen. And when I go ahead and launch this, see what happens. Launches into an app. And here's Bing.
Cool.
Load it up. Okay, so that's pretty easy, right? A web view with pointing to my website. And you can see it's going to behave just like an app. I'm going to be able to snap it. When I look at how it's managed, it's going to be managed by itself there. So one of the things that you're going to have in a browser that you don't have when you're in an app are some extra navigation, like a back button. So if I go in here and navigate to Texas, search, and I want to go back, well, I don't have a back button because normally I would have that in a browser. I don't have my great IE, flip to experience. The go forward and back.
Curious.
Yes.
Does backspace actually work?
Does backspace actually work?
So I think that's mapped to the back button in the browser. So yeah,
no.
we're stuck on
we
Texas.
We have no back button.
So not to say there's anything
that's
wrong
right.
with Texas.
That's right. I mean, if there's one state to be stuck on the web, it's going to be Texas, right? That's where you're going to be. There's plenty of space. But what I'm going to need to do is add in a back button, right? So I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to put a button. Let's call it back button. Take it back. And we're going to add a little bit of JavaScript here. And I know this is all horrible doing it all in line, but hey, it's a show, right? We got to keep things moving. So I'm going to add a script block here. And what I'm going to do is first,
so this is familiar to everyone that's done web programming.
That's right.
There's nothing different
this
here.
This is JavaScript. It's just JavaScript. Yeah. I'm going to get my back button. And then I'm going to add an event to it. And let's just do a click function, close it up. Now inside of here, when we click the back button, I'm actually going to go to my web view. And I want it to go back. So being a web view, in addition to having events that fire that tell you when content loading has started, when it's complete, when frame loading has started, when it's complete, when it's loading, you also have methods that you can call on it to control what's going on in there. So in this case, I'm actually going to go back. And it's a method I'm going to call there. So when we hit the back button, it's going to go to the web view and fire the go back method. And you can imagine what's going to happen. It will go back. So let's go ahead and try this and see what happens. So there's my back button. It's really great. I'm going to go ahead and type in Texas. And now I hit the back button and it goes back.
Cool.
So that's one problem solved, right? So when we started working with web apps, you know, I started to realize there's a pattern of features that every web app is going to need when they are a store app. Mm. Back button's one of them. Navigation is another one. Generally, they want to have navigation just like the other apps. So they'll have nav bars and app bars. They're going to need to put information in the settings. So whenever people look for privacy and stuff, it's consistently in the settings charm. Okay. They're going to want to integrate with the charms that fly out from the right, so the share charm and search charm. And then there's a lot of things that they're probably going to want, too. So things like live tiles, you know, and be able to take your RSS feed and turn it into a live tile feed. Yep. Things like secondary pinning, like if I want to have parts of my website that I pin directly to my start screen, do that with secondary pinning. So we thought about all these things, and like, you know, what we can do is build a tool that puts all those features into a template. Mm-hmm. And that's what the web app template is. Let me go ahead and open that up. So we'll say goodbye to our Bing app. It was wonderful. But I'm going to start a new project. And I'm going to choose type web app template. Okay? And this is, you're going to install this template. I know I have two projects called web app template. They're just different versions. That's the way it works. You know?
Want the one with the dashes.
I want the one with the dashes. I want the one that is the release 1.0.2, not one, you know. So I'm going to get the web app template here. And this is something I install with Installer that we'll talk about how to get your hands on this afterwards. So in Visual Studio, when you start a new project, you just double click on that project type. And you're going to start with a web app template. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're looking at here. Now, it is a JavaScript project, so it still has your HTML files, your JavaScript files, your CSS files. But we have template files in here as well that works all that magic we talked about. And then you have a config file. So the idea is, what you're going to do is you're going to provide configuration data in this JSON object. Then at runtime, we take the website inside the web view, and then we apply the data from the configuration object to it, and it ends up as a store app.
Nice.
So the default one is our documentation page.
Hosted on Azure websites.
Hosted on Azure websites, where else? So this is what the documentation page looks like on the web. And when I load it up with all the other metadata, which we'll go through in a minute here, you'll see what it looks like as an app. So here I have a fixed template. I have the search built in right on the screen. I have my navigation that I move from the page into the app level navigation.
Cool.
So I can go to get started. I can go to my references here. So I've got my back buttons.
All of this stuff's getting pulled out of the application. So you probably have the HTML5 nav element, and it's just going, oh, hey, here's a nav. Let's toss it into this menu instead of having it displayed on the page.
So what we're actually doing is, in the configuration object, we're asking you as the developer to declare what those links are. And I'll pull it up and show you. Now, one of the other options is to tell us what your nav element is. And we'll go in there and we'll scrape it for you and build out the navigation. But what we have found is that although that's an option, sometimes when you're in the app, your circumstances might be a little bit different. Because the very worst thing that could happen is if I was on this app here and I then was able to go out into the open web, you know, and click a link, and then the next thing you know, I'm on Bing, and then I click a link, and I'm on another website inside my app. That's a really confusing paradigm for a user. Yeah. We don't want that to happen. So we have some controls I'll go over in a minute about how we can help you stop that from happening. But that's kind of one of the reasons why, navigation-wise, we want to make it easy to just plug it in and declare the information that you have right in there.
Cool.
Okay. Now, if I wanted to change this app, let's go ahead and change this to... Bing.com and refresh it. And you'll see that app now becomes the Bing app. Now, I just changed the one value. It obviously didn't change all the features and everything. But just to show you, it really is pulling
the
data right whenever the app launches, it puts that data together.
Now, do you cache the site at all? So if I'm in like offline mode, will I still, like, if I'm traveling and I don't have an internet connection at all, do I still get the app?
So let me tell you about offline, because offline is a really hard story for websites, because, you know, well, what do you do when you're offline if you're not connected to the web? So we've got some things built in, and we've got some things cooking too to make it even easier.
Cool.
What you can do right now, first of all, we catch the offline experience. So if we see you go offline, we won't let it serve a 404. Instead, we'll serve either an offline message that says, hey, you're offline, do you want to connect? Or we can serve up a local experience. So we have a lot of our partners who just package a light experience, or some, if you're a shoe store, you want to package, you know, an offline circular or something to view when you're offline. You can point them to that experience until you get back online. But we also think that there's more that can be done. So that's all I really have to say about offline now, but I think that we have the potential, being a store app, to do even more for an offline experience in the app than we have in the website.
So I'm gonna do something crazy, and I'm gonna let people out there do it, and you can do what you want with it. But there's a comment section below. Help Jeff out and say, hey, this would be a really cool feature.
That's right.
And, you know, maybe it'll be something that gets implemented. Just, that's a maybe, big maybe.
Now, that's great, Corey, because this is a developer tool. So what we need is to make sure it's meeting the needs of developers. Yeah. So you developers out there, if there's something in here that you want that we don't have, please let us know. That's the whole reason why we're making this tool.
Now, is this open source?
It is open source.
So they could even go out, implement the tool, send in a pull request?
That's right. Cool. Yep. We want you to do that. We have it on Codeplex. So it's at WAT, W-A-T for webapptemplate.codeplex.com. Or you can go to Codeplex and just search for Web App Template. Mm-hmm. There you'll find the Windows and the Windows Phone version, along with some documentation and ways to get started.
Cool.
Let me show you a few more examples, if you don't mind.
No,
okay.
By all means.
So I actually want to pull a couple of my favorite sites here. All right, so this is Tron, all right? And this is a website that lets you go through here and read this comic book. It's got this great parallax effect here. Now I'm actually going to take this and plug this in here, and then I'm going to make a change in our styles section. Okay, so we're going to go down to the JSON into our styles and turn the suppressed touch action on to true. All right, and now let's run this. And we're going to do a little comparison to it. Actually, let me also take the header off. Yeah. Well, and you're going to get the idea. This is all just configuration here.
That's really cool because you literally are just going in and changing a couple of values from true
to
false,
right.
And it's completely changing the experience.
It's a JSON object. It's great. Now, this is actually a great touch experience, right? Mm-hmm. And it's full screen app. It is a fun little web app now, right? Now, if I compare that to the website, I actually can't touch. Well, I mean, I can touch it, you know,
touch
but it doesn't do
scrolling.
Anything, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't scroll. One of the reasons it's made for a mouse. So in this scenario, what we do is we're injecting a little bit of CSS, and that's what that whole style block is about. You tell us what CSS or what characteristics we need to inject into the page when it's an app to make it behave the way you want it to.
Cool.
So we inject the touch action, and we turn the touch action CSS property off so that it will not, basically the rendering engine, i.e. will not handle the touch action, it'll allow us to do it in JavaScript. And so here, where it's a mouse-only environment, here it's a mouse or touch environment.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool. Okay. Let's go into another favorite website. I'm a big Flipboard fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Flipboard has an incredible web experience. So you can go to flipboard.com and you can actually view these compiled magazines of this aggregated data that they put together. And it's a really great experience. It works with touch. It works with the mouse. And this actually is a compelling app despite the fact that it's on the web. It's just a really great app. So what I've done is I have a Flipboard app already built here with the web app template that uses that website, okay? And I'll go through a little bit of the configurations here. You know, I have my base URL, so that's gonna be the base for the web view.
Yep.
I'm gonna configure my charms, my navigation, live tiles, notifications, things like that sort, my styles.
Now, notifications, that's actually gonna pop up Toast.
That's gonna pop up Toast.
That's really cool.
And what we do is we use the Azure Notification Center. You can deploy an instance of that, put your, secret code into your web app template, say what tags you want for this particular app, and it's gonna work directly with that. It's already built in.
Cool.
So we thought, since it's so easy to use the notification hub on Azure, that we'd just make a really clean connection to it so that if you're deploying your web app through the web app template, you can now just a couple configurations more and have a full notification system right in your app.
How many people out there would have expected that your website now has full support for notifications as a Windows 8 app? That's impressive. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. And it's just one of those things. These technologies really support each other. Okay, so this is the Flipboard app. Okay, so I have my navigation and everything built in there. And I now have this full screen Flipboard experience, which works great with touch and everything, as an app.
That's awesome.
Of course, like we talked about, the back button support, if I want to share that. So let's open up one of these apps. And one of the things that I can do is share this out. So I'm going to share this, my email here. And it's going to send this magazine out to whoever I decide to send it to.
Cool.
One of the great things about using your website as the base, your web app website as the base of a store app, every page is going to have a corresponding web page, right? Because it is a web page.
Yeah.
So if I'm reading this magazine here in the app, it's really easy for me to send it out and share it with someone else, and they can just go right to the web and read it.
Especially if it's changing like URL segments as you flip through the pages, you could even
exactly
send an individual page off to someone, not just the one magazine itself.
That's
in this
right.
Example.
Yeah. I don't have this set up in this app, but I can show you in a minute. Since we have secondary pinning as well, if you have magazines like this that you want to let the user pin this magazine directly to their start screen,
cool.
It's just the configuration
it's
way.
It's like a really awesome read later
yeah.
implementation.
Yep,
that's really cool.
Exactly. Okay. All right. I think I had one more to show, if I remember right. Yeah. So, lastly, I want to show you one of my favorite shopping sites. You know, I've got kids, so, you know, we're always doing crafts and painting things, sometimes things that shouldn't be painted, like my wife's couch and stuff like that. Sometimes it gets messy, but yeah. We end up buying a lot of stuff from Hobby Lobby. It's great for arts and crafts. Now, I wanted to show this page because this is their landing page here, okay? It's a great web page because it's geared towards marketing. It's geared towards like first-time customers to grab their attention and give them an idea of what they can find on the site here. But what it isn't so good at is the customers who are return customers and coming back and want to dig right into a category and find something. So when we think about the app paradigm, a lot of times users who download the Hobby Lobby app are probably going to be thinking more about Hobby Lobby as a regular place that they go.
Yeah.
I actually have a prototype of this built out already. So let's open that up and see what we have here. Now, what we're actually doing with the Hobby Lobby app is we're mixing, you know, native pages with local pages, like air quote native, because really it's an HTML5 app, right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to be using local pages with the hosted pages on their website.
So is this kind of like the offline experience we talked about earlier, or is this kind of a different concept?
This is one way you can do an offline experience, but in essence, this is just starting with an offline page.
Okay.
And you'll see here my home URL is one that is local. It's pointing to a file that's in the app packaged already. So when I run this, you'll see my Hobby Lobby experience as an app starts out very different than the website does.
Wow.
So here, front and center, we put all of the categories, and then I dip into one of those categories, and it's gonna go into load their web page. We've minimized some of the information on the web page because it's non-essential when it's in an app environment here. And then, you know, the navigation is all up here, so all those categories is already in here. If this particular wedding and floral, a page that I imagine you may want to use quite often. So I'm gonna pin this to my start screen, and then let's see if this works.
I'm just getting married all over the place.
Actually, let me start my app, because I think since I'm already running it, it's not gonna. One more time. Hobby Lobby, when I click on that, it opens to that page, right? Because that's the one that I pinned on my start screen. So you really have that ability to go from local to web context, you know, go from your hosted site to a local page back to your hosted site. So the idea is you aren't limited by the constraints of your website. You have new features. Some of them you're going to want to add to your website so it works everywhere. Some of them may require that you access certain APIs in the Windows object that you can't do through the WebView because the WebView is sandboxed.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to do that in the local app. You're going to actually want to use the Windows object in a local page. So you go from your website to that local app to do your advanced feature and then can go back to your website.
Cool.
Lots of flexibility. You can continue to develop on top of this and build a more and more robust app as well if you like.
So you said that you've cut down some of the functionality on this page, and this page is actually, it looks dynamic, so it's getting served up from the site.
It is, yeah.
So are we actually injecting in like some CSS to remove certain elements of the website?
Yeah, let's go over, I'm gonna open up a new blank project here. Let's go over what we have as far as features in this. And we're not gonna go over all of them, there's a lot of them, but we'll hit some of the cool ones. All right, we'll make this nice and big. So I talked before about the base URL and then configuration for the charms. So we have share, search, and settings charms. The app bar and the nav bar, this is basically where I'm gonna declare the items that are gonna be in those bars. So I'm gonna have an icon associated with it. And in Windows 8, we already have a series of icons that you can choose from for those bars, the label, and then the action. In most cases, this is going to be you render a specific web page. So you go from page to page, from URL to URL. So obviously it doesn't have to be a new page.
So the icon there, you're loading up, say the help icon is one of those icons, but you could, can you make your own icon and then just reference the URL?
Absolutely. You can make your own icons for that as well. Nav bar is the same way. This, you know, the app bar is at the bottom, nav bar is at the top. You see we're declaring URLs in here. And then live tile. Actually, let me, this is not the most recent version. Let me just pull up a new one. I've got a lot of web app templates here to choose from. This is what happens when you do development. You end up having multiple versions of the same thing, but that's okay. All right, a little bit more information on this one, huh? It's a newer version. Starting back up here, navigation. This was one that wasn't in the other version there. This navigation lets you determine whether you want a back button, if you just want it hidden on the page or not. And then also there's some pages that you don't want a back button on. Your home page, obviously, we're going to assume you don't want, there's no place to go back to.
Yep.
But if there's other URLs that you consider a hub and you don't want a back button on, you can just list them out here.
Cool.
And that way the app knows when to show the back button and when it doesn't. It knows if it can't go back in the stack, in the history stack, it won't bother showing the back button.
Excellent.
Things like collecting errors and redirects, or excuse me, errors and logging, those are things that you as a developer are going to want to track that. Offline, this is where you put in your offline message or you point to some offline content. All right, we went through that. Live tile. So what you can give us here is a URL for your RSS feed.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is pull down that RSS feed and convert it to a live tile feed. So we'll just pull the last however many you tell us from your feed.
And if you have images and stuff like that, is that all kind of download cached and there for an offline experience?
That's right. Yeah,
excellent.
So that's gonna pull it down as a live tile periodically and then update the tile for the users.
Cool.
And we can read, you know, the titles and images and everything. So as long as your RSS is formatted properly, then it's gonna just work for you.
That's awesome.
Here's notifications, and this is where you'd put in your your secret passcode and declare what tags you want to have and things like that. So you configure that here just like you would anything else. Redirects, this gives you control over URLs. Mm-hmm. So we talked about sometimes you not wanting those URLs to follow where they would on the website. External links, they're really great for websites, they're really bad for apps. So here in this case, you can either, you know, fire off a message saying, hey, this is not a link that you want to use, or you can point to local content.
Or if say the Hobby Lobby app, you said, you know, homepage, not really something that's a good app experience.
Yeah.
But your navigation could potentially have a homepage. I guess no, because we define the navigation.
We define the navigation.
But you could potentially have some sort of text within your site that says go home.
Right.
But this is a way to kind of override that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And this is also a way to control like pop-ups. Sometimes there's pop-ups in your page. Since it's an app, naturally, if you popped up a new window, we would automatically pop it up in IE, assuming that it's, or whatever your default browser is, assuming that it's a web page that you want to look at. But if some of those pop-ups you want to open inside the app, you can control that through the redirections section as well. Settings charm, and plug in your URLs for that. Now, this styles section is kind of one of the most impactful sections here, because this is where you're going to define CSS that we will then inject into the web view for you. Mm. Sometimes it has to do with touch, sometimes it has to do with the viewport. So the W3C viewport that lets you determine how the page should be displayed as if it were an 800 pixels high or 800 pixels wide, something like that.
Yep.
If you want to turn that on to kind of zoom your experience in or out or fix it to a certain width, you can do that here. suppressed touch action we looked at already. Mm-hmm. The extended splash screen, so what we do is we take that splash screen and then we immediately start loading the home page. So that extended splash screen can look a little different if you want.
Cool.
And then we have hidden elements. So this is elements on your page that you want to be hidden. And you just list out the selectors there, and we're going to go through and hide them all before the page loads. So the user doesn't actually see a partially paged loaded. Yeah. You notice that we fade and do a transition animation in between pages so that the user feels like they're navigating from one section of an app to another. They don't see partial page loads or anything.
Cool.
And then back button colors, a CSS for style sheet for the wrapper part of the app, and then a custom CSS file for what gets injected into the app. And then if you just want to specify a string of CSS, you can do that here as well. And you can see that's kind of what we're doing here. This string will be injected into every page load before it loads so that the visually takes effect. And that's what we do in Hobby Lobby. We're injecting CSS in there to hide all of those links or to make the touch, spots the links a little bit bigger for touch and stuff like that. We do that with injected CSS. Header that you can turn on and off if you want that fixed header that has the search in it, and the search that you can turn on and off as well. And then the secondary pinning, where you can define what those images would be for the secondary pinning and whether that's enabled or not. And then themes, you have a couple pre-built themes for you to choose from as well.
Cool.
So that's it. That's the Web App template. There's a lot of features. Sometimes you'll use some of them. Sometimes you won't use any. Sometimes you'll use all of them. Like I said, we encourage you to bring your web apps to the Windows platform. You can do that yourself. You can use the tools that we provide for you or come up with your own method.
Like, this is really cool because you're literally taking your website experience. You have a way to mold it. You have a way to add additional functionality to make it feel a lot more like an app. And the majority of it is just through configuration. So you sit there, you do your typical day job keeping the website up to date, but then the app experience changes alongside of that.
Right.
And then if you do want to go in and get a big bonus at the end of the year, you can make this really killer app that has, awesome touch-enabled features and whatever for the Windows application specifically.
That's right.
This brings a lot of power to all the viewers out there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And, I'm a web developer, so that's what my passion, JavaScript, HTML5, CSS, and there's some huge advantages to writing for the web. You get to decide what code your user gets every time they come to your website. You can push out updates very quickly. You can fix bugs very quickly. Things that are very difficult to do in packaged code. But there's some disadvantages of the web too. A lot of times users go to the store first to try to find the brand that they're looking for.
Yeah.
You want to be there. I know as a web developer, I want to be where my users are looking for. Sometimes there's other advanced features that you can't do as a website because it's just not safe. Sometimes you want to access USB. Mm. Sometimes you want to have store payment systems, things like that. So this is an opportunity for you to kind of have the best of both worlds, keep using your hosted app and have all of those advantages, but then also be where your users are looking and be in the stores as well. So ask all the developers out there, if you've got a great web app, bring it to Windows, make it a great Windows app as well.
Yeah, and if what you're looking for isn't in the web app template, you can go contribute a feature yourself, which is really exciting to be able to do, or suggest it below and give Jeff a little bit more work to do.
That's right. I love doing it.
Excellent. Do you have anything else you want to add?
I think that's it. I think we showed it all.
This is amazing. Hopefully everyone out there downloads the bits. They're on CodePlex.
wat.codeplex.com. Right.
Lots of documentation and all the bits you need for both Windows 8 and Windows Phone.
That's right.
Excellent. Thanks everyone out there for joining us, and hope to see you next time here on WebCamps TV.
Thanks for having me.